The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's magnificent, majestic, full of meaning and mutual motivation Monday as we get back into our vehicles of faith, put on our Jesus safety belts, and drive to pre-designed kingdom destinations. How's that one for a trip? First up, did we create ourselves in our mother's womb? Did we control our fathers and mothers before we were conceived? If that's true in the flesh, how much more true is it in the spiritual that we didn't control it? Next, being progressive can be politically charged and a nasty term. But progressive in ministry, progressive in witnessing, progressive in healings, Jesus approves that with a big okie dokie. And finally, we examine the truth regarding pollution and the environment. The funniest part is that the earth is God's planet, not the people's planet. And he has something to say about what true pollution is.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you know how to reach us. You can call in 972-445-0770. If you do that, Terrific T will answer the phone. She'll be really nice to you. And if you want to give her a code for a free pizza, she's not going to say no. We would both really appreciate that. And then you can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And for those that feel they're very, very strong intellectually, you can just really concentrate and think, maybe if I concentrate hard enough, Dave will pick up my thoughts. Probably not, but hey, if you want to try, just don't give yourself a headache. Here is the things that you get to use the number for. Pop questions. We had somebody send in a pop question today, which we're going to be talking about probably, I think, on Friday, Isaiah 53:5. Also, we're going to make sure it's open for praise reports, for prayer requests. We pray for people on a pretty regular basis. And then, of course, trivia, which most people quite enjoy. So we'll make this a kind of a fun starter offer, getter going, real simple offer, trivia offer thingy, dingy, there, thing, there. Okay. All right. It sounded good in my mind.
I bet it did.
Yeah. Boy, that is exactly like how my wife would say that. I bet that did. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. You know, the two of you ought to get together and have coffee. And you can talk about the real problems that I have between my left and right ear. Here we go. First trivia question. Water was in how many pots that Jesus turned into wine? Okay. We know he turned it into wine. Got it. Took the water, turned it into wine. For those that are like, hey, Dave, that was just grape juice. Well, the problem with that, of course, is the text in and of itself says most people bring out the really good wine at first and then the lousy wine later, then nobody can tell the difference. That's not how that went. So here is the whole premise. How many pots were involved in that particular miracle? That's what we're looking for. How many pots of water? If you know that answer, text it in, call it in, do the best you can, or think really hard, and perhaps I'll pick it up by osmosis. Probably not. We want you to be aware, any topics open for conversation, And it's real simple. Why? It's not professional radio. It's just radio. And that's what we have a good time doing it. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Many things to tell you, many things to share. We're going to probably, I did not get a chance to actually talk to Terrific T about this. We'll probably do a couple of Bad Bible Brains things. So I'll let you know when those Bad Bible Brain thingies are coming, and then you'll have that chance to play it. I do want to remind everybody about the DNA. Draw closer to the Lord is D. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. D, draw closer to the Lord. You never stop drawing closer to the Lord. And if you have a problem with me saying that, you're going to hate heaven. Okay, so just think of it in those terms. Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed of the word that God has established in his word. Of course, God created the universe, and he can certainly write a book. Never be ashamed of the words of Jesus or anything that he had to say. And then always be ready. Ready, because you just don't know. As I was walking out of the gym today, by the way, I went to the gym today. I didn't go on Friday, and the truth of the matter is I had a real big cheaty meal over the weekend.
You need to grow up.
Hey, that's a good one. I pretty much did right after I was done eating that food. I just pretty much went. But on my way out, I ran into that gentleman that we had talked about before that I had a chance to witness to. And we'd been praying for him. We prayed for his health. And he's doing a lot better. And he's in recovery and wanted me to share along with everybody how much he thanked everybody for praying for him when we prayed for him that one day on the show. So you just don't know. You always got to be ready. Just I'm walking out the gym. I'm thinking, man, I'm really out of shape. But while I'm doing that, the Lord's like, hey, I'm going to have you run into this guy again. It's like, see, you just don't know those kind of things. Those are the coolest things in the universe. So I just want to make sure that you stay in tune with that, always being ready. I know there's a lot of different news going on. I know this, and we've talked about this on a pretty regular basis. Next week, there will be a lot of different news. The week after, there will be a lot of different news. And the week after that, there will be a lot of different news. Just giving you a prophetic storm up ahead of time so that you're aware of it. Let's get into our first semi-teach here. Again, the question, there was a certain amount of water pots that Jesus had turned the water into wine. How many pots was that? That's the question we're asking. Let's get into our teaching. We're going to go right away because it's a little bit more in depth. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. And this is what it says. This is what it says. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now perfected by the flesh? So here's Paul. He's writing to the church, and the problem that's going on at the church, for those who don't know, is the church, and a part of the church, in the letter to the Galatians, he's concerned because what people are doing is they started off in their faith, and you know how it is in the beginning of your faith. It's a little bit of a honeymoon period. You really feel like things are awesome. You just found out that God loves you. You're kind of excited, and your prayers, even the dumber prayers that you pray, might get answered real quickly. It's almost like things are like really flowing, and you're like, I'm in touch with the supernatural, and it's just this whole thing that's going on in your system. But what takes place is people have a difficult time with discipline and keeping focused on things like that. And so what they do is they think, well, gosh, I'm not getting as much as I was, or when I'm reading, it's not the same, or the whole process is a little bit different now, and the honeymoon period seems like it's over. And so what we'll do, or what we'll tend to do, is we'll try to step in and help God in the process. And what we'll do is we'll take over, listen to what I'm saying, this is really important, we'll take over the whole salvation process trying to help God along as if he needed help in getting people saved, keeping people saved, and making them look and reflect like Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes to the church here and he says, look, you guys, you started this whole thing off by faith, you started this whole thing off by the Holy Spirit, you started this whole thing off in the hands of God. Are you now going to take over by your flesh? Are you now going to take over by trying to adhere to the law? Are you so spiritual that you've figured out a way that nobody else could figure out to become righteous by the law that nobody was ever righteous by? And are you abandoning the simplicity that God brought about your salvation in? And he says, "You, why are you so foolish?" It's really quite interesting because that foolish is not the same as in Matthew 5. Matthew 5 is more the word moros, which is mentally retarded. It's completely different. But he's just saying, are you so deaf? Are you so hard-hearted? This is a better way to say it. Are you so hard-headed that now that God has started this whole process, you're going to take over? It's like starting with God's leading and prompting and directing and then saying, okay, well, now that he's got the ball rolling, we'll take over. And if that salvation has to originate in God and Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and this is a process that goes by faith and it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, at what point do we think, well, we're going to step in and help God out because he be running slow? It's like you can't, that doesn't work. And so he just says, what are you doing? He said, you're, and don't get mad at me, but he's essentially saying, you're blockheads. Stop being a blockhead. The Three Stooges is a blockhead. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's like, don't do that. It's like now we decide. See, so if our spiritual upbringing, so you had nothing to do with your natural birth in the context of you weren't the one that got your parents to get together and have you. You weren't the one that said to your dad to say to your mom, time for a baby. It's not, you weren't even there yet. So if that's true in the natural, how much more true in the spiritual? And the premise here is to understand that this is in the hands of God, your salvation. And that's why it can be secure. Because let me be honest with you. If your salvation was in your hands, you were in trouble. You might as well go to the ice cream store and just, you know, get a double chocolate because wow. That is not secure. But if my salvation and my growth and my participation and my expansion in the kingdom of God is in God's hands, then guess what? I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear that there's something missing or something lacking. He is the author and the finisher. The author writes the book. The finisher closes the deal. It's like a closer on a pitching team, baseball team. He's the closer. He takes care of it. That's the way it goes. Like, yay. All right, folks. All right, how many pots did Jesus turn into wine? What was that number? It's six. Six. That comes out of John chapter 2, verse 6. So there you go. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Who was that masked man? That's kind of funny. All right. So much to do. I have so much stuff to cover, too. Let's see. Keep in mind, we are looking at some things that we'll be teaching in the future. We're going to be doing the Book of Philippians on Thursday. We are examining spiritual gifts. Go down that road, people are going to be like, ay, ay, ay. You have no idea. Let's see. Remind you about a way to get in touch with us. It's 214-210-8483 if you're going to text. It's 972-445-0770 if you want to call in directly. The next one, next trivia question, kind of an interesting one. You might have to think, but don't Google it. Here we go. Who was Jesus talking about when he said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel? He was complimenting somebody. He was giving a big compliment to them about their faith. Who did he say that to? It's in Luke and Matthew. Gives you kind of a couple of ways to go from there. And if you can't figure it from then, I will do my best to help you out. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So we want you to go there, check things out. We've got the picture of my mask is up there. We got the sermon that I did at the church is up there. We got a testimony up there. We have some different teachings up there. We have some different audio. We got some different video. We have secret little clues up there. We still have the kitchen sink up there. I'll let you know. And then all that other stuff, go check it out. But the big thing for us from a practical point of view is this is the 10th. I have to check in with T to make sure I got the dates. It's the 10th, right? It is still the 10th. Okay. She's double checking. It's the 10th. And so we have, what is this? This is August. So we have 21 days, including today. So if you're planning on giving, give. If you can't give, we love you. We don't love people based on what they can or can't give. But if ministry is a blessing, then do something. Help us out. There you go. Just leave it there. But it's easier to do it off of hemustincrease.org than anything else. See, it's a deep breath. Next segment, we're doing a Bible baloney beatdown. Next segment. So I'm telling T ahead of that so that she knows. Next segment. This segment, the trivia question is, who was Jesus talking about when he said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel? I believe it'll be in Matthew and in Luke, and I will help you out a little bit, Matthew 8. if I remember correctly off the top of my head. Let's do a little bit of history so we can stay on top of things, if that's right. You want to know what today is? Lazy Day.
It's my favorite day.
Favorite
today.
Day in the world, right?
Yep. Favorite day.
I mean, you know, that's why we had Dr. Robert Morris on the show, and he wrote that book, Take the Day Off. It's like, you know, that's like the greatest title ever. Take the day off.
I completely agree.
I mean, how do you not love that? It's also National S'mores Day. Big weakness of mine right there. Do you like s'mores?
I do. I actually just ate my first one maybe like 2 years ago.
I love s'mores. It's so bad. If you could get me on a s'mores kick, what had happened is I was in Walmart one time and they had the marshmallows and the graham crackers and the chocolate all on one aisle, like one island. And it was just too hard to say no.
That sounds good. I wouldn't even say no.
It's just too tempting. Paul Bunyan Day, for those that have any understanding of Detroit or Michigan and Indiana and in that territory. Skyscraper Appreciation Day. I got nothing. I have nothing to say. I thought this to be rather unique. So in 1519 on this day, Ferdinand Magellan, okay, you'll remember that name, set sail from Seville to travel around the world starting on this day. Also in 1948 on this day, for those that don't remember, some of you may remember, which is sad, Candid Camera made its actual debut on ABC. Wow. Amazing, amazing. This is really a disturbing statement I'm about to make, but I did find it, and because I found it, I got to mention it. After playing 49 straight hours of the video game StarCraft, Lee Sung-soop died from exhaustion. So when they tell you what harm could ever come to playing video games, there it is. Yeah, that's like, is that bad? That's bad.
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
That's bad. I think we've done Monopoly things like that before, but I don't know about video games. Okay, let's get into it. Here it is. We're not doing Bible Baloney Beatdown yet. We'll do that in the next segment. But here it is. Here's an amazing statement. Some of you are going to shudder as soon as I say this, but it's not political, so relax. What's wrong with progressive? Not political. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 25. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again, he laid his hands on his eyes and he looked intently and was restored. And he began to see everything clearly. All right, let's just be honest. There's not a lot of you that are going to be able to dodge or duck out of this one. One of my favorite lines to people that know nothing about the gospel when they get really irritated at me is I say to them, "You wouldn't know Jesus if he spit in your eye." And then they come back and they go, "Jesus wouldn't spit in my eye." 3 times he did it. So this is just one of those things that when you read the book a lot, you kind of know. But don't tell me it's a little gross. Okay, I don't care what you just say. Come on, here's Jesus. Jesus goes, "What's the matter? He can't see." I was like, "Uh-oh." It's like I'm just kind of curious what the disciples thought or what anybody else thought. You know, at that moment, like, didn't they go, "Yuck! Wait, what? What are you doing?" So Jesus is not somebody who is shy in the ability to heal. In fact, his ability to lay hands on people was extraordinary. If you will read the accounts of Jesus, one of the things that's greatly missed by a lot of people is how many people he actually healed. So in the Gospels, you get identity on people that were healed, but what you need to read is all those little verses that say, and everybody who came to him was healed. Everybody that had demons, they were cast out. Everybody that had infirmity, he healed them all. There's a lot more healing going on than people, I think, recognize. And we have a record, and we don't need more than what that record is. But the record tells us there's a lot more stuff going on, a lot more taking place. And Jesus was one thing of many. Of course, he was the Lord. He was the Messiah. He was God incarnate. So it's a completely different process. Remember, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he's the exact representation. The only time that's used, by the way. The exact representation of the Father. And we find out in Colossians that the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Christ. So you get this real understanding that Jesus is the example. And he sets examples. So what he'll do is he'll share with people, he'll minister to people, he'll feed people. He does a lot of it. It all takes place around that process. And Jesus taught something in this that there's a lot of people that have a really tough theology in, and that is they think, well, there's a better explanation of why Jesus prayed for this person twice, and it's got to do with this, 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 and this, and I think that's rubbish. What do you think of that? He's like, he prayed for somebody twice. Well, why would he pray for somebody twice? Well, he actually didn't pray the same prayer twice. He just prayed in two progressive steps. And people get really upset and say, that's not right because Jesus should have healed him right on the spot. Should have been. It's just like, hey, Sparky, sit down and drink your chamomile tea. Okay, just take a deep breath. There's no belittlance to the deity of Jesus Christ that he exampled that there's progression in praying for healing. It's like it doesn't take away from his deity. It doesn't take away from the Father's will. It doesn't reduce him. That's absurd. In fact, it's a great illustration for who? You and for me and for everybody else to say, I'm going to pray for this person, and then I'm going to ask this question. Do you see anything? An evaluative question. What do you see? What's going on? I have a message for you if you don't know this or not, but you go to your doctor and he says to you, what's going on? And then you tell him, and then he does things according to what you tell him. There's a really large pain in my forehead. And then he pulls the nail out of your forehead and goes, does that feel better? It's like one of those things. And it's like the idea is that Jesus illustrates the progression process. For who? For us. He didn't need it. We do. We pray for somebody. If they don't get healed, we go, and it's like, well, pray again. Ask more questions. Get involved. Become a part of it. And so in the first place, he spits in his eye, and then he lays his hands on him. You can't tell me Jesus didn't have a flair for the dramatic. That's pretty dramatic. And then he says, what do you see? I see men, they walking like trees. Then again, the scripture says, he laid his hands on him, looked intently, and was restored and began to see everything clearly. So it was progressive. So that means when you pray for people, it should be progressive until the answer comes. Right? Nothing wrong with that. It took more time so he could illustrate to us that there are some cases that take time. Cool. I just want to know that stuff so I can keep at it, make sure I'm doing the best I can. By the way, who was Jesus talking about when he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel? The centurion. That's who. Aha. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget livinginhisgrip.com. That is a place to get a lot of our music for free. Pretty simple if you want to get that. Also, you can reach out to us, 214-210-8483 is the text. We have people texting, 972-445-0770. Nobody calling in yet. That's okay. Takes a little while. You get things going. By the time we're either into this segment or tomorrow, it will be ringing like crazy. Especially
keep calling!
That was a good one. I was going to say, especially since we're giving away thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. No, we're not.
Keep calling!
You're just having fun with that stuff, aren't you? You know, you get to do whatever you want.
I'm always so
if
fun.
If you get bored, you could just go, I'm going to work on this stuff, right? I mean, that's kind of a nice way to do it. All right. When the Roman soldier pierced Jesus in the side with a spear, what came out of his side? Do you think you know? You can text in 214-210-8483. You can also call in 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. That's right. So hemustincrease.org. Got that all in front of you right there. If you have any questions, you always reach out to us. We'll do our best to help you. You get it. You got to get ready. Oh, somebody's calling in, so we're going to have to wait before I go into the Bible baloney beatdown. But you got to, there's always stuff on the website, always stuff going on, always interesting. Again, keep us in prayer for all the things we're heading into. Let's take this call. This is David. Who am I talking to?
June.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, well, it's great to hear your voice.
I think it's blood and water.
That is correct! Blood and water! Exactly, you got that exactly right. Blood and water, water and blood, they came out of his side. Excellent.
Yes.
Did you have to look that up, or did you know that one right away?
I already knew it.
Good for you. Excellent job. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, excellent job. See that? Bam! Blood and water. Boom, right off the bat. Okay. All right, get ready. I hope you're buckled in. You better, if you're on the road, don't take your eyes off the road. Okay? Keep your eyes on the road. Here we go with our special segment of Bible Baloney Beatdown.
Hello.
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 It's now time for David Spoon's Bible Baloney Beatdown. Bible Baloney Beatdown.
I'll knock your brains out of your head, Annie.
That's so funny. Now, tomorrow, I'm forewarning you, we're doing like 3 Bible Baloney beatdowns. So we're going to be doing a lot of them. Get ready for them. This one should be fun for some of you, not for all of you. Numbers chapter 35, verse 33 through 34 says this: do not pollute the land where you are. Get ready. Bloodshed pollutes the land. An atonement cannot be made for the land on which blood has been shed, except by the blood of the one who shed it. Do not defile the land where you live and where I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites. Here's the big Bible baloney beatdown. People will go out there. They've been preaching it for a while, mostly ecumenical style churches, mostly New Age progressive people, and they'll just say, do not pollute the land where you are. And they stop, and they go, see, you can't pollute. Then they quote the Indian who's got the tear as he's watching somebody drive away and throwing trash out the window. And then we all found out a few years later that that guy was an actor and he wasn't even an Indian. That was just really like, well, what a bunch of phony baloney that is. And also from the pulpits of America and beyond, especially if you're a young, 12, 13, or 14-year-old girl who's absolutely clueless about truth, bloodshed is what pollutes the land, not a Snickers bar wrapper. Now, do I think you should go around dropping Snickers bar wrappers all over the place? No, I just think that's stupid. But what God determines defiles the land, what God determines what the pollution is, what God declares, that is what truly pollutes the land. And you want to hear what God's revved up pollution process is? All in Leviticus chapter 18, God gives the absolute definition. I don't even have time to read it all, but I'm going to give you the 4 big keys to true land pollution, according to God. And before somebody goes, well, now, Dave, Leviticus, that's the law. You can't eat, you can't eat lobster. You can't eat this. You can't eat this. There's a difference between ceremonial law, moral law, and civil law. What Jesus did was eliminated the ceremonial law. The moral law never changed. And the civil law goes with the civility of the society that's in action. So some things have nothing to do with the other. The thou shalt not murder still applies. So people go, you can't legislate morality. Okay, now watch. Thou shalt not murder, and we have this thing called if you kill somebody, you get executed. That's called legislating morality. There it is, right there. So the idea that it's not is absurd, okay? I mean, it's just kind of an absurdness. And now God has an opinion, and I don't care about my opinion. I relish my opinion much, but I know it means very little. But God's opinion matters much. And what he defines in Leviticus 18, verses 6 through 23 is truly pollution. In verses 6 through 20, you know what the entire discussion is? Get ready, it's going to blow your mind. Inappropriate sexual relationship pollutes the land. We already know that bloodshed, that murder does it. And then we find out in Leviticus 18:21, watch this, child sacrifice pollutes the land. And then Leviticus 18:22, homosexuality pollutes the land. Leviticus 18:23, bestiality defiles the land. Now look at this. Inappropriate sexual relationships, child sacrifice, homosexuality, bestiality, and murder. These are the things that make the land dirty. If you really want a Green New Deal, then let's have morality become green. Because that's the problem. In Leviticus 18:27, it says, for all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out as it vomited out the nations that went before you. The nations that went before had no Snicker bars. They didn't have that. they had inappropriate sexual relationships, they had child sacrifice, they had homosexuality, and they had bestiality, and those are the things that polluted the land. They had murder, they had inappropriate rape, I mean, not other than there's appropriate rape, they had rape, they had inappropriate activities one toward another, that's what I meant to say. And the whole process there is all of these things that God calls pollution are all of these acts against the standard by which God requires people to operate. If you think that has to do with a small electric car, you've lost your mind. It's the violence. It's the sexual activity. It's the lawlessness. It's the godliness. It's the understanding of all of these activities that people do that are contrary to God. And the Lord's like, you know what? The land vomited out the people before. And if you guys do these horrible things, it will vomit you out too. Like, ooh. That's what the Creator has to say about the land that He created. What people think? It's not the people's planet. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the planet, not one human being. You know how we have your rent, and we'll have rent, and then if you are in a position and you've bought, what do they give you? They give you a title deed, right? You get a little title deed and you own the property. When Jesus comes back, I want you to hold up that title deed to Jesus and go, oh, the government says I own it. See how that works out for you. That ain't going to go so well when the Lord comes back to claim His property, right? Land pollution, according to God, is unrestrained and overt sexuality in the land that God created, bringing the land of the Lord into disrepute. It's slandering the land of God by bloodshed, by violence, by sexuality, by bestiality, by sacrifice of children. By the way, back then they used to rip open the women's wombs and take the child and sacrifice the child. People are like, well, that's not a living being. So unbelievably dishonest. It's incredible. That's what true pollution is. You want to know what God gets mad about? That. Am I advocating that we shouldn't do our best to take care of things? No. But do not mistake our inability to harness energy and the way that we use the resources of the land, which, by the way, was given to us by God as a gift. Do not mistake that and our inability to reach that perfect stage with child sacrifice. Come on. The Lord's like, what are you doing? The land vomited out those people back then. They didn't have any technology issues. They had morality issues. See what I'm saying? All right. It's really important to make that distinction. Just a little Bible baloney beat down for you. But that's what the Scripture teaches. That's why we use it. All right. We're going to take our break and then come back. Boy, you're probably thinking Dave's mad. No, it's just Monday. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, for you and I, God provided His own burnt offering, His own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian.
And if you can't shout,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I just took a blowtorch and blew apart a lot of people's arguments that have to do with green stuff. That's the way it goes. See, I don't have to worry about this because it's the same book. You see, he created the universe. He could write a book. All my material is at least 2,000 years old. Isn't that nice? I don't have to worry about it. It's like, nope, that's what he said. Got it. Okay. Let's get our last trivia question in. We want to give everybody a good, decent question, but not too hard. So here it is. If you know the answer, you can call in at 972-445-0770. And by the way, I can say that really fast. Ready? 972-445-0770. It's pretty fast, right?
I think I could say it too.
Can you do it really fast? Go ahead. Ready? that was fast.
Right? Like you couldn't even tell. 972.
Yeah. 972. So bad. 972-445-0770. That's if you're calling in, right? So we already somebody call in, right? So that's, you know, and then if you're texting, it's 214-210-8483. I do like that we have both those systems. I do. And eventually we'll have some walkie-talkies. Okay, maybe not. But we're working on it. All right, here's the last trivia question. It's not that difficult. You guys should know this one, so I'm kind of counting on you guys. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world but loses his own? Fill in the blank. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own? Defining for sure. There are more important things than money, right? Right. Okay. Our website, by the way, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. All right. Now, this message that I'm going to be sharing... Okay, texts are coming in. Good job. Everybody's getting it right. So good job, everybody. I will give the final answer at the end. You can still call in if you want to, because when you text, I don't read them out loud. And the only way that it shuts down is if somebody calls in. Okay, so the question is, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own? And then you got to fill in the blank. Here we go. This is a big teach. So I want you to get this. Follow me on this just a little bit. Delilah... Remember Samson and Delilah? Delilah nagged Samson to the point of him going bonkers. Okay? Theological word meaning bonkers. Judges 16:16. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. You'd think, wow, where are you going with this? Well, look at this. Delilah nagged Samson so much, such a nag, that he was going crazy. He was going bonkers. And the scripture says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. This guy was like losing it. And I want you to know something you might not be aware of, and I'm just trying to give you a little bit of permission to be a normal person. Jesus backs up NPT. And you're thinking, what's NPT? What is that? It's nagging power theory. Jesus backs up nagging power theory. Remember how two segments ago we talked about progression in prayer for ministry? Look at this, what Jesus says, Luke 18, 1 through 5. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming to me. So now watch this. Jesus not only backs up the nagging power theory, the NPT, but he tells us, nag away. And you're thinking, what do you mean? He doesn't say that. Matthew 7, 7 through 8, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. All three of those actions, asking, seeking, and knocking. They're all with an S in most translations. They're all perfect present tense. What does perfect present tense mean? It means you keep doing it. You just keep doing it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. So here's a great permission that Jesus gave us using Luke 18, recognizing how powerful nagging can be by looking at Delilah and Samson. And here's the big key. Ready? Nag away. Annoy God. Go ahead. He loves to be pursued. And when you nag God, you have to spend time with him. You see, this is the wisdom of a Jewish grandmother right here. They're going to have to nag me for me to be able to make them matzah brei, but I love it because then they spend more time with me. You see that wisdom? You see what God is trying to pull from the people? Spend more time with God. Annoy God. Nag God. Don't complain. I'm not saying complain, okay? I'm saying keep asking and keep asking and keep asking and keep seeking and keep seeking and keep seeking and keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking. Because that's where the answer lies. The answer is within the framework of your pursuit of God. He wants to be pursued. He loves to be pursued. You want to really experience the joy in the Lord of your relationship with him and of that presence of God in your life. You keep asking God, keep seeking God, keep knocking on the door with God. Never stop, never quit, never stop, never quit. You just ask, ask, ask. I'm going to show you something in a very vivid illustration. You'll understand it. I won't do it very long, but just follow the example. Ready? Hold on. Here you go. This is what happens if you keep knocking, okay? At some point, you just go, okay, that's enough. That's enough. I can't take it anymore. Ah! Right? But that's what the Lord wants from his kids. He wants his kids to be passionate in pursuit. And you think of it and you think, oh, but that's overly simplistic. Yeah, but Jesus was the one who used the story. I didn't make up the story. Jesus said, look, there's this woman. And then he tells the story and he goes, he identifies the judge. The judge doesn't fear God, doesn't care about people. It's like Jesus is like going, here's a guy who doesn't care. He don't care. He's not worried about God. He's not worried about people. But he just can't take the nagging. And that's what he tells you to do. Now, do you think that Jesus used that illustration on purpose? Of course he did. And what we get to see is the MPT, the nagging power theory, how effective that was for Samson. I mean, Samson, after a while, is going to lose his mind. This is what the Bible says. He was tired to death. He just had enough. Take a drill bit and put it right in my forehead. It's like, you know. Well, that's what Jesus, okay, do that with the Father. Pursue, pursue, pursue. Nag away. Keep asking him. And you think, well, there's some teachers, I don't care what said, this is what Jesus said. Nag away. Ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. So we, as a key, as walking in this correctly, we need to annoy God in the context that he loves to be pursued. I think I got about, 50 seconds or somewhere? Is that about right? All right. Be annoying in a loving way. Just think of how a Jewish grandmother would love to be annoyed. Cook me blitzes, Grandma. Cook me matzah brie, Grandma. Cook me fudge brownies, Grandma. Please, 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 please. But she loves it. You think you're that different, huh? Really? Nah, not that different. Okay, for what shall profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? As wealthy as you can be, if you don't have it on the inside, friend or foe, you just don't have it. That's just all there is to it. Got it? All right. Okay, folks, what a Monday. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Gonna take a short break. 23 hours, then we'll come back. Talk to you then.
Most of my life it feels like I've been running. Running.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.